Coming up in the Panel Scanners podcast, 24 months in, Johnny editorially defends DC's New 52, Phil has a retroactive review of Bone and all your favorites, and Stick Stuck Pick, Sayonara. It's the Panel Scanners, episode 18, and it's happening now.
Gentlemen, I'm Johnny Capps, and you are of the Panel Scanners. Your host, Johnny Capps, with me as always is Darren.
You'll be malfunctioning within a day, you nearsighted scrap pile.
I believe we just witnessed that. And with and my sidekick, Phil.
Well, one day I'll have catchy things to say, but
no, you
I just
won't.
Don't. You're it's right, okay. I suck.
It's okay.
Whatever.
Everyone needs that little special redheaded kid.
I'm not redheaded.
I know.
Don't shame me, I have a soul.
My mom's
all right.
I'm gonna
We are talking about everybody's favorite American pastime, comic books.
Or baseball.
No, comic books. So we are talking this year. I have to do some boring stuff first.
Okay.
And I'm sorry.
Let's hear it.
But this year in comics, 2013 was up 9% from 2012. The top five selling comics were Walking Dead, number 115. Justice League of America, number 1. Superman Unchained, number 1. Guardians of the Galaxy, number 1. And, dun-dun-dun, Superior Spider-Man, number 1.
Not a surprise.
Not a surprise at all.
Three of the five.
Now,
one.
Out of that market, this is not the first time that Image has taken the number 1 comic of the year. They have also taken the number 1 graphic novel of the year with Saga, Volume 1. It's been a very impressive year. We have Marvel leading the markets with less than 2% over DC. It's fantastic. It is a great time to be a comic book reader. Anyway, speaking of comic books, on the television, there are many new comic book shows that are showing up.
Wow, are there
judging
ever?
From the success of shows like Smallville, Arrow, Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I know.
It's gotten so good.
It has! Oh my god. And on the docket, we've just had announced we've got a Flash show coming up. I just read today that Amazon has been greenlit, which will be Wonder Woman's television show.
Huh.
We have Our Man, which was kind of a...
Our Man?
I don't know.
Yeah. That's an old DC guy.
Yeah, it's an old DC guy. I'm only reviewing the DC shows.
Gotcha.
We have Gotham, which, surprise, surprise, focuses on young Bruce Wayne rather than the Gotham PD like we had originally been promised.
So it seems like they've gotten over we don't want to muddy the waters. Like, they were really afraid to put Tom Welling in the Superman suit for Smallville because they didn't want to confuse the audience and, like...
Yeah.
You know, and they wouldn't allow Smallville to bring in Batman or Wonder Woman ever because, like, well, we've got the movies. We don't want people to get confused.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now it looks like they're going to be fine with bringing in other...
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. really stepped up the game to integrating actual comics with television.
Well, yeah, but that's connected to the cinematic universe. Like, they were saying...
Yeah, I think that's what DC is trying to do.
I hope so, because, come on, man. If they're going to have, if you've watched Arrow, then no one else should be playing Green Arrow than the guy. Is it
right.
Stephen Amell or something like that?
Stephen Amell.
He is. Yeah. He owns that role.
He really, really does.
And, I mean, I think I said in the last podcast, I hate to get you off track here, Johnny,
no,
but
please.
How smart would DC be to take it, you know, they're basically taking the Marvel model right now, and why wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, it's a great model.
Why wouldn't you? But they could take it the one step further, because with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you just have, like, the hints of the other heroes, but, like, no, here's Green Arrow, here's the Flash, and they're part of the cinematic universe, too.
Yes.
It's brilliant. It's so brilliant that there's no way it'll happen.
You watch,
they're going to cast someone else's Green Arrow and someone else's the Flash for the movies. They won't go... Because, like, well, we don't want to have TV actors. I'm like, but, like, Arrow, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Arrow is just, it's better than most of the superhero movies outside of one or two that we've seen, like Avengers and...
But you have to think fiscally as well. If they hire someone for a movie, they may start demanding more for the show. And that's something else that they may consider as well.
I don't give a shit about that.
I know you don't, but the companies do.
Well, you would assume that if these guys were to, like, since Marvel has it established, that now that we know that Wonder Woman's going to be in Man of Steel 2... that if the Flash is going to be in Green Arrow, they're going to make small appearances, so they won't carry their own movie.
I really think that they should integrate both the television and the movie.
I think it's great.
No, it's brilliant.
Marvel,
they should.
Marvel
don't
did
you,
it right.
Don't
I mean,
you feel like it's,
that,
it's
setting this all up?
They it's did. So perfect that it's just like yeah. they're not going to do that. It's too
yeah.
perfect.
No,
they'll screw
it
up.
Is. Now,
we all know
I really
Ryan
appreciate
Gosling's
it
end up
because,
being
like, everybody can agree that Iron Man 3 was the weakest of the Iron Man movies.
I have not seen it, and I've been told stay away.
Don't stay away.
No,
it's still a decent movie.
It's good.
It's just it's
not
just Iron not Man.
On par. It's not Avengers.
Well, it wasn't Iron Man 1.
No, it really wasn't. Not. Oh my God, no.
Yeah,
that
film was
such an amazing
phenomenal.
Movie. But anyway, what I liked about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is they took the Extremis that was introduced and underdeveloped in Iron Man 3 and developed it further in the show.
And they connected to the new Thor film by
yes.
having Asgardian
yes.
things. And I mean, that's a nice way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do see the desire still to maybe have a couple more, even if not for extended things, but at least like an episode that deals with Iron Man or something like
yeah.
that. Which I wouldn't be surprised if it does happen once they pick up a little more steam and can afford to do that.
Yeah. Anyway, there's one last show, but it's really about a character that nobody gives a damn about. It's some Constantine? Yes, they're making a television show about Constantine, and I could not be happier about that. I could be happier if it wasn't on Fox.
But I thought
but
is it Fox?
It is on Fox.
You know, isn't Gotham on Fox, too?
Yeah.
That sucks.
No, I'm sorry. Constantine is NBC.
I was going to say,
Gotham
I thought Gotham was Fox.
Doesn't it stink now because you've got The Flash and Arrow
on
CW?
Yeah.
Like, great, we're going to have Bruce Wayne. Oh, no, we're not going to appear, and there'll be no guest starring. You're like, dang it. It's kind of like the reason we can never see Spider-Man or the X-Men with the Avengers. Is
for a couple more years.
Sony.
For a couple more years. But, I mean, I think that's one of the nice things about S.H.I.E.L.D. being on ABC is because, you know, it's all that Disney grand, like,
mm-hmm.
umbrella idea, so that
Disney
you can get those people. They do.
I'm just waiting for them to buy Doctor Who.
They can't.
No, they can't. Anyway, on to more news. Darren, what you got?
Kyle Higgins is leaving Nightwing after issue 29, and that is unfortunate. Jerry Fine was the man who introduced Jerry Siegel to Joe Shuster. He passed away recently, as did Al Plastino, who was a Golden Age artist and one of the top Golden Age artists back then. On the Marvel front, all Star Wars comic book titles to Marvel by 2015. And, I mean, that's its original home. I have Star Wars number one sitting in my collection over there. I mean, this is no surprise since Disney. But you have to admit, I mean, Dark Horse over the last 20, 25 years, man, oh man, did they take that
ass.
Title.
They really
and
have.
I've got a couple of their titles here. They've really, I mean, this is no shot against Marvel, but that's kind of a loss because Dark Horse really turned out some amazing Star Wars work, and you got to say it's like it's no fault of their own that they're going to lose it. But Star Wars will return to its original comic book home, which was Marvel, keeping with the Star Wars line. Star Wars expanded universe titles, once they go over to Marvel, are going to be molded into the same canon as the movies.
I don't know what
that means for things like The Star Wars or the eponymous title that's running right now, the Star Wars is a miniseries anyway, so that's going to end very soon, well before they end up at Marvel. But the Star Wars eponymous title that's been running since last January, that is ongoing. I don't know if that's, you would assume that will end, because unless the creative team's going to jump over there as well. But then what about all the Dark Horse? Because Dark Horse was really the people that expanded the Star Wars universe. I would say they had as big a hand in expanding the Star Wars universe post the original trilogy than anyone else has. So does that mean that they're going to include some of those? Now, some of the big names like Grand Admiral Thrawn from the Timothy Zahn, which is the official 789 up until what we'll get in 2015, they, you would assume, are going to be absorbed by Disney. But it's interesting because Dark Horse created a lot of characters. A lot of their creators created those characters. So did they become part of Lucasfilm? And now are they over as well? Are all of those stories over as well? It'll be interesting to see.
Well,
and Go ahead, bud.
I'm sorry. George Lucas went kind of nuts with saying this is all part of the canon. He canonized the comics. He canonized the novels. He canonized the video games. Mm-hmm. So this is all part of the... And it just doesn't make sense.
You're right. It doesn't have to. I don't know. It's, well, I guess it's a wait and see right now.
Yeah.
And finally, and this is... Boy, oh boy, is this a long time in coming. Isn't it, though?
I mean, it is. It really is.
You're talking about superheroes on television, and, you know, Batman 66, a little musical interlude leading into our show today was from the Batman 66 television series. Finally, for the only time, is coming to home video later this year. Never released on Beta or VHS or Laserdisc or DVD. Now, the movie they made was out, but the television series has never been released, and it is finally coming out. You know I'm a big proponent of Batman 66. To me, Adam West has been and always shall be the Batman, the best Batman ever. He's the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be, to quote Bret Hart. But you know, this is one of those things where I've always said Batman works a lot of ways, mm-hmm. and there's no doubt it worked. It's a very enjoyable show to watch. It's smarter than people think. I'm a big fan, and I mean, some of those episodes I haven't seen since I was maybe 5 years old, because the only way you'd catch them is on reruns. So,
yeah.
I mean, this is kind of a big deal.
Oh, extremely.
Did you actually say when it's actually being released?
Actually, that news broke today, and I only got it because Conan O'Brien tweeted it.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and he was tweeting it from the Batmobile, the 66 mm-hmm. Batmobile. And Warner Brothers did say it's official, but that's the only information we have at this
point.
Hey,
maybe if it comes out in the summer, we can binge it.
Oh, my God, I would love to binge it.
Great.
We would have to pod that, too.
It would be amazing.
That would be incredible. The first two seasons out here, I do recall, like when Batgirl's introduced, the series takes a nosedive.
I feel I have to say that these guys are not in high school. They're actually school teachers. So summer is there still their vacation.
It'll be wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Yeah. We'll definitely do that.
So, speaking of old versions of things, how about Michael Douglas being cast as Hank Pym?
I know.
Can I interject? I'll be totally frank with mm-hmm. you. I don't have intimate knowledge of the Marvel Universe.
Okay.
I read a lot. I'm not familiar with Hank Pym. Is that
Ant-Man?
Oh, Ant-Man.
You're thinking that's
Wait
creator of Ultron.
I thought they had said Paul Rudd is Ant-Man.
No.
He is. Scott Lang.
Yeah.
He's Scott Lang. Ant-Man.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Oh, okay. So there's, it's like
Paul Rudd is Scott
Barry
Lang.
Allen,
okay,
Wally West sort of thing.
Yeah, well, there are multiple Ant-Man. Hank Pym's the original Giant Man, Ant-Man, various other names and terrible costumes, creator of Ultron, and by default, then.
Genius. He's
a
genius.
He's just a really smart
guy.
Now,
is he an older guy in the comics?
Not really. He's projected as kind of a younger guy, maybe in his 30s, which is weird because he really should be about as old as Michael Douglas. In all reality, if you go by everything, but it's the same as Tony Stark should really be about that old, too. So,
I mean, that's a big-time get for them.
It is, and the thing
he's
is
a big name.
There's really mixed reactions.
Excellent actor.
Yeah, he is.
And an elite filmmaker in his day.
Exactly. And the thing is, the one thing that I always try to tell people when they go into comic book movies is you have to go in and remember that it's its own universe.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you enter with that idea, Michael Douglas will be phenomenal.
Mm-hmm,
and
he can
definitely play a brilliant man. He can definitely fit the part. They're just making jokes about him getting shrunk down, thus his knees caps not shrinking with him and things like that.
one other question.
Mm-hmm.
He is Hank Pym in what?
What do you mean?
What is he going to
do? He's
Avengers
going to be
in Avengers 2. Okay.
Ant-Man. Because Avengers 2 is going to be Paul Rudd, right?
No, Avengers 2 is Ultron.
Well, no, I'm saying, isn't Scott Lang going to be in that, not the Hank Pym Ant-Man?
Because I haven't heard.
My understanding is Ultron is not created by Hank Pym in this universe.
It's not.
So there's lots of stuff
Jarvis.
It's Jarvis, which is interesting because Jarvis is a human being in the comics and a computer in the...
Can we agree that... I'm familiar with Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Can we agree that Paul Rudd... That was like a slam dunk when his name was mentioned. Like, oh, if you don't cast Paul Rudd as Ant-Man, then no one else will add up at this point.
And I think it makes sense with Michael Douglas playing
It does.
Hank Pym, because that means he's too old to be Ant-Man. Scott Lang.
It'll be very interesting, yeah. And I'm looking forward to it, honestly, because I like Michael Douglas, and I think it could be done well.
Everybody loves Michael Douglas.
My next thing is big news.
Catherine Zeta-Jones does not like it.
My next big news is something that has just flooded the internet, and I would say spoilers, but honestly, it's so all over everywhere. So if you don't want to know things, cover your ears for about 10 seconds, but Peter Parker returns in April.
Okay.
It
wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter
it's
of
when. And the thing is, it's not clear as to how. I guess the issue of Superior Spider-Man that came out yesterday starts hinting toward it. I have some theories about Venom. I haven't had the chance to read my comics from yesterday because I picked them up today because the comic shop was closed by the time I got home. So, Peter Parker's back. But with that, there is a brilliant, at least scripted from what I've read, Infinite Comic. You're familiar with Infinite Comics, correct?
Yeah.
That they just released them on, Comixology and the Marvel app. There is a Infinite Amazing Spider-Man where Peter Parker wakes up in his consciousness in the middle of robbing a bank. And he's learning how to deal with it. Because supposedly when he comes back, he's not completely there. Because if you're following Superior Spider-Man, Otto Octavius wiped all of his memories out of his own brain. Which I think is going to make some awesome storytelling when it returns. So Amazing Spider-Man number one, because why not, is going to start in April as well. The last big news that I've seen pop up is Chris Claremont is writing a Nightcrawler book. I don't know how I feel about that. I have mixed feelings about Chris Claremont. I think he's kind of out of his heyday. Obviously, early, mid-90s was when he was like, ooh, boy.
He's the Joe Charbonneau of comics.
That's when the guy was
It's the same with Nightcrawler. Don't get me wrong. I love Nightcrawler. He's actually one of my favorite X-Men. I'm very happy to see him back. But I don't know if he can carry his own title. And it's unclear right now if it's a miniseries or a full book. My last piece from me is, it is no secret that I take on large comic book ventures. I read the 700 issues of Amazing Spider-Man, which I'm kicking myself now because I found the chronological, which is a lot longer, and I might go back and do that in the future. But right now, I'm doing something that is probably going to take me until I'm an old man, and at some point, I'm sure I'll break and skip stuff, but I'm doing the chronological read of X-Men. Not Uncanny X-Men.
Oh,
not
God.
Astonishing X-Men. Not Dazzler. Not anything. Everything. Right now, I just finished the Days of Future Past arc, which I will actually do as a retro review down the line, much closer to the new X-Men film coming out, and going into the first appearance of the Brood, which has been really interesting. And the Dazzler book started off incredibly cheesy, but I'm starting to get connected to Dazzler, which is good because she's a main character right now in the comics.
The Brood, were they those alien-like creatures? Yeah, I remember the Brood.
They're very cool and very, very violent. Yeah. And they actually showed up first helping out Deathbird trying to take over the Shi'ar Empire. Very cool. I'm learning so much more X-Men history, which is making me feel super nerdy. So it's all right. And that is all I have on the Marvel front for now, and other than Marvel Now Wave 2 is really starting. And it's still unclear if they're going to keep counting up or not. As of now, from what I'm seeing, is we're getting number ones in the top right corner in the story arc with that number one, and the counting up still going on at the bottom. So we may not be just getting brand new number ones. It's just showing it's a new jumping on point that is clear and easy for new readers.
Very nice. All right, guys. You know how big a fan I am of the DC's New 52 project.
Yes, sir.
Well, a lot of people are not big fans of the DC New 52 project. And I've been hearing a lot of complaints from my fellow geeks about the New 52 line of comics. And that includes about 92% of all of DC's material. I mean, all of their stuff is pretty much mainstream now. We all know that the New 52 was supposed to be basically... What the New 52 was supposed to be basically, it was... You You guys know what the New 52 is.
Yeah, it was a reboot. Yeah. There are 52 new issues of things that you already are familiar with, but guess what? You're not familiar anymore, right? Am I right?
It was a reconstructing of the superhero universe.
I like my telling more.
Yes. So do all the geeks who hate the New 52. As a whole, it has accomplished what it set out to do. It brought in new readers, and it sold it stimulated the comic book market incredibly well. It was a great place for new readers, and sales haven't been this high since the 90s, which is 15 to 25 years ago, my God. So, with the big upheaval like that, there are going to be some offended parties. I'm going to address a few of the biggest complaints. Please understand that this is only my opinion as a longtime fan, short-time comic book analyst. The first book released from the New 52 was Justice League, which chronicled the meetings of Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Flash, Aquaman, Green Lantern, and Cyborg, as they combined their forces to fight Apocalypse. It was said to be set 5 years in the past, and pinpointed as the time when superheroes emerged into the world. As the rest of the books were set in current time, 5 years from then. All the other rest of the books were set 5 years from then. A lot of people complained that 5 years was not enough time for major events to have occurred, such as Superman's death, which was referenced in Swamp Thing number 1, or for Batman to have gone through four Robins, Dick Grayson, Nightwing, Jason Todd, Red Hood, Tim Drake, Red Robin, and Damian Wayne, who was, rest in peace, Robin. I had trouble swallowing this at first as well, until I thought a little deeper. The only character that saw their origin in Justice League number 1 was in the original Justice League number 1 arc was Cyborg, Victor Stone. The rest were already functional and establishing them. I am so sorry. I'm all over the place tonight. The rest were already functional and establishing themselves as superheroes, and they may have been doing that for many years prior to the meeting. In fact, in the story, Superman mentioned that he had heard of Batman. That means that Batman was already functioning in Gotham, and had been for some time, in order for Superman to have heard of him. Just because the fictional media sources of the DC-verse, i.e., the Daily Planet, the Gotham Gazette, etc., decided to say that the formation of the Justice League was the beginning, that doesn't mean that it was truly the beginning. These guys have been around for quite some time. So, I mean, there's that. All of this stuff could have gone down. Superheroes have been around longer than 5 years. The other one is the missing characters that people have been addressing, such as Stephanie Brown, Wally West, Dawn of Troy, Justice Society of America. These are characters that are not really addressed in the New 52 yet. Now, I do have to backtrack a little bit, and Stephanie Brown, Scott Snyder has said that Stephanie Brown will be featured in the Batman New Journal weekly series. It's coming up. Alright, fine. And it was just announced yesterday that Wally West would appear in the Flash Annual. So this is a little bit of a problem for my case, but still. What I'm saying is that just because a character hasn't shown up yet, that doesn't mean that they're not going to show up. This is a new world, guys. This is a new world and a new history. I mean, do we get mad that Gandhi wasn't as vocal enough during the Crusades? Are we angry? Do we complain about the cave paintings of Velasco saying that Michelangelo could have done a better job? No, because that's ridiculous. This is history. These characters haven't shown up yet because they haven't shown up yet. We are rebuilding an entire universe. Just because our favorite characters haven't shown up yet doesn't mean that they won't, and it doesn't mean that they don't exist. Just patience. This is only 3 years in. We can't hit everything running just like that. That's just my 2 cents.
Well, Johnny, you make a great point. It cannot be argued that it wasn't a great financial move. But a great artistic move, I think, is another story. Now, I was on board with several titles from the New 52 right. for the first 12 issues for an entire year before I dropped them all. But I did end up picking up Batman again for 0 year.
Which is great.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, my God.
At this point, though, I think the New 52 and the old universe, for me, from what I've seen, it could be almost indistinguishable. Like, it was a PR move and nothing more for me. And what would you say to guys like me where they said this is a jumping on point for everyone, but as I said well over a year ago on our podcast, it was a great point for me to jump off. Now, what I had read, though, we had great stories. The Court of the Owls was magnificent.
Fantastic, right?
I mean, in the history of comic book runs, it seems like the litmus test for great comic book runs is always Batman, because he's so rich and in-depth.
Now, if I could just interject real quick, Court of Owls could not have happened with the New 52.
Absolutely. It did happen with the New 52, though.
Could not have happened without the New 52.
No, it could have totally happened with the New 52. You would have to change one or two elements, but the essential base of the story where Batman discovers a clandestine a society that essentially ran Gotham's the Illuminati. It could have totally happened in the original universe.
I'm saying that the original universe had too rich of a history, too in-depth of a history, too tangled of a history to introduce an element as deep as the Court of Owls and have it be convincing.
You could totally do that at any time. That happens. It happens all the time. I mean, the Legion of Doom was brought in at some point. The Brood. What was the Hellfire Club, Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. Bring that in. It was a metaphor for the Illuminati.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
It could have existed at any point.
Things can hide underneath the bigger things that are going on, and like the Illuminati or the Court of Owls. Even though I haven't really read it, I've heard enough from people. I want to.
It's a secret society. I mean, the whole point is it's a secret.
True.
Yeah.
That is true. All right.
So. My point is Cheerios. Now again, I'm
still saying it wouldn't have worked.
The Flash, Francis Manapul, and was it? I can't think of any Mandrake. Tom Mandrake, Francis Manapul. No, that can't be right. But forgive me. The Flash for the first 12 issues was awesome. Nightwing with Kyle Higgins,
brilliant,
really good.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy, Green Arrow could not have been worse.
Oh, no,
I mean, that was by far the bottom.
They took J.T. Kroll, and J.T. Kroll is a 90s name.
I heard that recently Green Arrow is one of their top titles.
Jeff Lemire has been rocking title, yeah.
And you and I both remember we were, Grant Morrison's on Superman, we're like, it's going to get good, right? It's, what the hell
is going
on? I
love that. That's such a guilty pleasure of mine.
Yeah, I mean, I can see your point in it. But artistically, there's, at this point, to me, the New 52, like, I don't have a problem with it existing. I mean, I'm not bitter about it. I'm like, you know, maybe I'll come back at some point. But no, you know what, I am kind of bitter about it, because this is the one thing I could always go back to and say that, hey, you know what? This stuff has existed. They're referencing stories that I read when I was 5. But now, they're not even consistent with it, because they said everything starts from number 1 except for Batman, in which these characters are still going to be around. If they were going to start everything from number 1, and you know what's funny? Now with 0 year, they're doing that.
Yeah.
So they've been wildly inconsistent.
0 year was a year ago.
0 year is going on right now. Batman 0 year?
Oh my God, yeah. No, I was thinking of the 0 event.
That
was a year ago.
Yeah, they've been. Wow. I think you could make the case that they've been wildly inconsistent with their own social structure with their characters.
They've been wildly inconsistent with the social structure of the old New 52. The established characters.
Yeah, right. Oh, well, that's the thing.
I'm sorry, the old universe.
Well, no, but like, how long has the New 52 been a thing?
They're on issues 26 now, so just over 2 years.
27.
27?
Yeah.
So two.
A little over 2 years. Villains Month was
two and a third
September.
Or 2 1/4 years.
What happens in 2 years, man?
I don't know. It's just one of those things where You know, Johnny, you're right. Fiscally, it made it's a brilliant move, and they raised comic sales, they raised attention, and ultimately, I think we as the comic readers will benefit from it. But you can't. Can you blame someone for being a little bit bitter?
I absolutely cannot. I'm just saying that there are. I mean, this is a new history. You can't hold the new history to the same standard as the old history.
Well, I absolutely will.
This is a new world. Would you hold Wonderland to the same criteria that you hold Oz?
I don't know. Depends on which one I like better.
These are, okay.
Hey, it's my prerogative, man.
You're right. And that's just the way it is.
I'm digging it. You wrote a brilliant piece on it, and you're right. What you brought out was very... There's no doubt that they've had some great stories. But it's still nothing more than a publicity stunt.
Someone outside of it, though, I think it's all in the eye of the beholder. I mean, we grew up with this stuff, so we love it. So maybe these kids that are growing up with the new 52... and like the new characters in Marvel now, even though they've kept the canon stuff functional, I think that if we ask them, hand them, you know, a 1960, 1970 book and say, read this and read a new 52, which do you like better? They're going to say the new 52. So I think that's the thing. And that's what they want to do. And that's the whole fiscal, we need a new audience. Because honestly, well, that's a lie. I was going to say, how many older guys are the ones reading comic books? And then I think about the comic shop that I go to, and there's nobody young in there. It's all of us.
Well, I still say, you know, it was much more than a publicity stunt, and so much so that Marvel followed suit. Wisely so. They want to make money.
Doing a great job.
They're leading by about
3%. But don't you think Marvel had it right 12 years ago when they're like, listen, here's the ultimate line. We're going to start everything over from the beginning. And we're going to have two where you guys, you might you get to relive the thrills, but you still have your stuff.
Cataclysm. Sorry.
Yeah.
But speaking of ridiculous.
Oh my God. That was so ridiculous. Much like the ridiculous storylines that I'm going to be presenting you.
I love this segment so much.
Yeah. I'm going to be presenting three storylines, two of which actually happened, and one of which did not.
This is, we tried this out 2 months ago with the Batman storylines.
And right now I'm winning?
Yeah, Phil got it. It's 1-0 Phil.
Mm. Yes.
So the way it works is very simple. Johnny's got between three and four storylines. He's going to read the abstract to each of these three storylines. We forgot to flip a coin, so Johnny, in a minute, you'll give us the picking a number between 1 and 10 thing, and to see which of us will go first. And if Phil gets it right again, then he goes up 2-0. If I get it right, I go up, I tie you, Phil. And if Johnny, neither one of us gets it, you get the point. He's got, well, let's hear what you go. Let's go ahead.
All right.
Which one of us should go first?
I think Phil.
All right. Phil, you get to go first.
Yeah.
All He's right. got home court advantage because this is a Marvel thing.
My first tale.
No, it's not. It's Superman, isn't it?
No, it's Avengers.
This was messed up.
I think I should get the. No. Since he's got home court advantage.
No, give it to Darren. It's okay.
I should bat first here. Home field.
All right.
Out of Marvel stuff, Avengers storylines, probably my weakest.
Yeah, I am a rock. Well, I'm sticking with Phil.
Pick a number between 1 and 10, and then we'll see which one gets closer. You got it?
Got it.
I'm going to go with 3.
You dick. That was going to be my number. 6.
8.
All right, Phil. Go get him.
All right, let's do this.
All right. Tale 1. A tale in which it is revealed that Dr. Stephen Strange is actually the royal court royal magician to Queen Elizabeth. Matt Murdock was a traveling bard. Nick Fury was the head of the Royal Guard, and Peter Parker was a bratty kid who had a fascination with the strange eight-legged arachnids, which seemed to be drawn to him. After battling attacks from the strange Count Otto von Doom, ruler of Latveria, the boat Virginia made arrives from the New World, or Roanoke, carrying Virginia Dare and her bodyguard, being a tall, blonde Native American named Rojas. After a series of events, including Queen Elizabeth's death at the hands of the Witchbreed, being strange people born with magical extraordinary powers, and the unexplained disappearance of Captain Richards and the rest of the crew from the ship Fantastic, Sorcerer Strange astral projects himself to the moon, where he is met by Uatu, the Watcher. Uatu reveals that the timeline has been indeed messed with, and that Rojas is actually Steve Rogers. After fighting a clandestine agency of the 21st century, Captain America, Steve Rogers, was strapped into a device that should have killed him, but instead sent him back in time to Elizabethan era, and time got fucked up.
Okay, that's number one.
Was that a quote?
What?
Sorry.
Royal Mage Doctor Strange, I'm going to call that one.
All right. And number two, the robot Ultron, wanting revenge on the superhero team, the Avengers, for constant defeats, places a document detailing their downfall in a time capsule. When the time-traveling villain, Kang the Conqueror, finds the document centuries after, and having been thwarted by the Avengers himself, he travels back to their time to kill the team. The old Avengers, however, have disbanded and been replaced by a less dedicated group. Kang kills the entire team by detonating a nuclear weapon. I'm sorry. Over Avengers Mansion with... I did such a good job with this story. With many of the old Avengers... Yes. It's many of the old Avengers such as Captain America, Thor, Iron Man, Quicksilver, and the Scarlet Witch, either dead or missing for years. Hank Pym reluctantly forms another team. The team consists of his wife, the Wasp, Hawkeye, and his wife, Mockingbird, the Mutant Cannonball, and Tommy Maximoff, who is the son of the android Vision and the Scarlet Witch. Jesse Wingbot, the daughter of She-Hulk and Wyatt Wingbot, and two mercenaries who call themselves Hotshot and Bombshell. Together they confront Kang, who is now allied with Ultron, and things get heavy. That's number two. Number three. At a President's Day celebration, Captain America was to be given an award for Outstanding Citizen by current President Richard Nixon. The Avengers all came to the ceremony to watch, and everything was great until Arcade showed up. He ambushed the ceremony with robot statues. I'm sorry. With robotic still lives called Tricky Dick. Robotic versions of Tricky Dick. Once putting the Commander-in-Chief to safety, Captain America bellowed his signature, Avengers Assemble! And the team began to run crowd control while battling the automations. The highlight of the fight was when a nose from one of the Robo-Nixons jumped from its face, attacking Scarlet Witch. She was rescued, and after defeating the automations, Richard Nixon awarded the Citizens Award to all of the Avengers. And that is the third story.
Okay, I'm going to go with Royal Mage Doctor Strange.
Shit. That's what I was going to go with, so I'll go with number two.
Ultron's Revenge.
Ultron's Revenge?
Mm-hmm.
You believe that Ultron's Revenge is a conflaboration?
I do.
You believe that...
Royal Mage Doctor Strange.
Royal Mage Doctor Strange,
yes, sir,
was Marvel 1602. Yours was Avengers The End.
I knew that was a real story.
The Tricky Dick was...
You made up the tricky dick?
I made up tricky dick.
That was brilliant.
Thank you.
Wow. Because I totally like, oh, they do that stuff all the time. That was well done.
That's exactly what I did.
Wow. One Phil, one Johnny, one DSPZ, zero. Oh, man. All right.
That means I'm up next, correct?
Now into Stink Stuck.
No, we are not.
Sir, you are jumping the gun. Stupid, stupid rat creature.
I'm sorry.
There we go. I had the most lovely time rereading one of my favorite stories ever, and that is Jeff Smith's Bone. Yeah. I've said, I think, in a podcast in the past that the first time that I was introduced to this story was in Disney Adventure when I was a little kid. And I think it's kind of one of those things that you are completely... It's a beast. You are completely not expecting what's coming. It does start off pretty childish, lots of little jokes, stupid, stupid rat creature said frequently, which in this, well, let's talk
that
about the story real
segue,
quick.
Then.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I messed
The main story here is these cousins, who aren't actually cousins, they were actually raised in an orphanage together, Phone Bone, Phony Bone, and Smiley Bone go into the valley, and they are actually getting chased out of Boneville, get all the bone puns. They're chased out of Boneville because Phony Bone was running for mayor, and he cheaped out on the treats. He gave everybody prune tarts that were stale and made everybody have the poops. While he did that, he had a giant balloon version of himself tied to a statue of another bone, which was so large that it lifted the statue out and chased people around the town. So they escaped, and they ended up in the valley. And that's kind of the silly beginning of it, where they end up in the valley, they start meeting, they get separated due to locusts attacking them, and they fall in. We mostly focus on Phone Bone, who is on the cover of the book and is known to scream stupid, stupid rat creatures. Mm-hmm. There's a focus on him and two specific rat creatures who are like the bad guys in the valley. For some reason, these two are kind of the misfits. One always wants to cook their prey into quiche, and the other one just thinks they should eat them because they are monsters. Phone Bone becomes friends with Rose, who is an old woman, and Thorn, who is her granddaughter. And the whole thing ends up revolving around Thorn, who is a misplaced princess, and Rose, who actually was the queen of the valley at some point. And they are battling the king of the locusts. And it just gets out of control. It gets insanely violent. There are dragons, there are battles, there are locusts, there are bones, and there are lots of stupid, stupid rat creatures. And there are just moments in this book that are done so well. It's black and white, the version I read. They did, in the last few years, they reproduced this in a color version, which I am not blessed enough to own myself. But it's not necessary. It is brilliantly done. Really very is. Simplistic, yet complex art. And just laugh out loud, funny at times. Moments that you can't stop reading, and just, if you haven't read it, I cannot recommend it enough. It is just one of those things that I think as a comic book reader, as a comic reader, as a reader in general, you should really take a look at it. And if you pick it up in a store, and you see the image of Phone Bone sitting alone, and it just looks cartoonish, and he just looks like a bunch of little circles... Ignore that.
Yeah,
open the book and get into it, because there's so much good in there. And Jeff Smith is a genius.
Really is a legendary series.
It is, and you can find it as a single volume that sells for... The book itself is $40. I'm sure you can find it cheaper on Amazon.
Yeah.
Just pick it up. Give it a read. You will not regret it at all.
Phil, how long ago did this originate?
When was this? Oh, Lord. The 90s?
The
90s? I can find the original date.
Yeah, he was one of the highlights of the 90s.
It was, because yeah. I remember, like I said, it was originally... This is copyright 2004, but...
That's the book itself.
1991 through 2004. So that was the run.
Oh, wow.
And
but to remember, I mean, the 90s was when all the small press, the underappreciated stuff started coming out, and there was a lot of crap.
And
but
this
Bone
was
not.
And if you have, like, seriously, if you haven't read it, if you haven't heard of it, find it. I know there are copies in our local shop. I've seen them there.
Yeah.
I know you can even get the color trades, which is going to cost you a little bit more, but I've looked through them, and they are beautiful. And honestly, Jeff Smith is just a rad dude. I met him when I was a kid. Did you really? He used to hang out at our comic shop. A guy grew up in Oberlin. He was there a few times. He signed a couple books for me. I have a couple issues of Bone signed from when I was growing up. And, I mean, just everything about it. It is the perfect little story that mixes fantasy, comedy, seriousness, and it just ends with you with a smile on your face. You're like, those silly Bones, what are they going to get up to next? Mm-hmm. But that's enough of things from the past.
That's great, Phil. I mean, it was a really good review. It's something I know it's always been floating around. It's something I've been aware of just because being involved in comics. And
you've never read it?
I've never read Bone, no.
What?
It's one of those things, you know, I just have never gotten to.
Honestly, once you give me back Six Gun, if you have the time, this is all you, my man.
I will look forward to it.
So, let's talk about some present day stuff, because it's been a long time since we've done Stick, Stuck, Pick, Sayonara.
It really has.
So, I'm going to try to do this much quicker than normal, because just my mass amount of comics, I think I might have... Whoa, Darren has quite the stack this time, too. So, I'm going to go a little bit quicker than normal. I'm not going to do as much storyline. So, here we go. I'm going to start with the first two things that are Marvel Knight books. I have Marvel Knight Hulk and Marvel Knight X-Men. It's not been bad, but it's just not drawing me in as much as I'd like to. Hulk was actually better than X-Men up to this point, which is interesting because I've never been a Hulk reader.
Yeah,
but there's just something about this book that is very interesting. Falling from my stuck to stick is Sex Criminals. Obviously, it's very sexually heavy, and they're kind of just pushing it too much. The storyline is still very interesting, and I want to see where it goes. But they're spending a little bit too much time on the sex and not enough time on
story. I had heard it got a little bit gratuitous.
It is. Yeah. And that's the thing. Before, it was used very tastefully, even though it was gratuitous. Now it's just getting kind of ridiculous. I'm hoping we move past that now that we've been introduced to the sex police. this really shouldn't be in my stick pile, but we'll go with it. Superior Spider-Man team-ups. Just kind of fun. Doc Ock ending up to no good with other people. Nice. Also shouldn't be in the stick. I don't know. That's what piles up. Cataclysm, Ultimate Spider-Man. I'm an issue behind right now. It came out last week. My guy didn't pull it. He didn't get new issues this week because Cataclysm, he thought he wasn't supposed to pull it because it's a different storyline. It's not actually Ultimate Comics Spider-Man. As always, Bendis, phenomenal. Very happy that this title is going to survive after Cataclysm. This, I think Fantastic Four and Ultimates are going to exist. Somehow, I don't know if it's going to be in the normal universe, but it's going to tout the Marvel Now title. Uncanny Avengers, I'm having problems connecting still. It's been good, but nothing that I'm salivating over. And the adjectiveless X-Men. I can't drop it. I don't know why. I want to drop it, but I just haven't been able to yet. Yeah. There's still hope. I love Brian Wood. There's potential. Stuck. See, I told you it was going a little faster. This, the only reason I'm stuck and it hasn't fallen into the stick or my pick, because there's only been one issue, is all new X-Factor. I've never been a big X-Factor reader.
Is that good?
I saw it, yes.
Peter David.
I saw it fall as a number one. I saw Gambit and Polaris on the cover, and I was like, you know, I like Polaris. Didn't realize dude in the corner was Quicksilver. And there is potential here. Lots of really interesting things, and it's heroes doing work for a company, so I'm intrigued. All new X-Men has Scott Summers and X-23 kissing on the cover. Another issue came out yesterday. Haven't read it yet. I hear it clears this up a bit, so I don't want to talk about it. Five books in a row was a short miniseries of The Point Amazing Spider-Man's 700 point whatever. There are short stories kind of reintroducing us to Peter Parker. Reintroducing because he's coming back. They were fun little stories. Lots of focus on Aunt May. A lot of focus on him being Spider-Man and dealing with it. Stuck on Amazing X-Men, where we are starting to get a little peek of Nightcrawler. Once again, another issue came out yesterday. I don't know what's going on. Guardians of the Galaxy, gone from my stick back to my stuck. Bendis is doing a great job with this little group. Angel's starting to get a little bit of a voice, which is nice. And I don't know. I'm starting to connect to the team, and I'm kind of excited for the movie now that I have a feel for the characters. Falling from my pick to a stuck is Hawkeye. Nothing against this book. I love it. We're getting more Kate Bishop in this issue. Like I said last time, we're going to get a Clint Barton, then a Kate Bishop issue. Clint, Kate. This was a Kate. Very interesting. It's our first time seeing her in California and what she is doing with her life. nothing too severe until the last page. Stuck on Marvel Knights Spider-Man because it is a fucking acid trip. It is so messed up. If you haven't thumbed through the pages, you should. It just has, like, absolute ridiculousness the whole time. And it hasn't lost its feel. We actually left off with the potential that Peter is, like, basically dead. Obviously he's not, but you know. Superior Spider-Man, I don't even think I need to talk about it. I'm a big Spidey fan. Venom is in it now. Now we have the Superior Venom because it has bonded with Otto. Once again, another issue yesterday. Not caught up. Wow. I'm going to skip that because there's two issues in there for some reason. Uncanny X-Men. It's solid. It connects to all new X-Men. This issue followed...
Is it Rick Remender?
No, it's Bendis. It's been Bendis.
Oh, you're right.
Brian Michael Bendis, since it relaunched. This focused around the girls and of the team and trying to, like, start giving them a voice, which some of the new characters didn't really have it, as well as the Hive Mind got a little bit of action. Wolverine and the X-Men, we're starting to see some interactions between Scott Summers and Wolverine, which is interesting because they have kind of hated each other forever.
Which, current Scott Summers or...
Current, not past, the, current. All right. The actual one that killed Xavier. And my last stuck is the second to last Simon Spurrier X-Men Legacy. His last X-Men Legacy came out yesterday. I hear really sad things about it. I cannot wait to read it. Absolutely phenomenal. I think I've pored over this enough that if you're not reading it, you really should. If you can get over Coy Femme's artwork, just love it.
That really does hold the book back, by the way.
It does. Yeah. My pick, which kind of surprised me, is the Superior Foes of Spider-Man. This thing has been the most solid, ridiculous, fun, interesting book that I've read. It has blown my socks off. Complete surprise. When I picked it up, as one of those things I was like, that's Spider-Man on the cover. Let's give it a go. It's been awesome. It focuses around kind of like the B-list villains from Spider-Man's world. And it's just the crap that they get up to. And it's been awesome. And we actually learned the identity of the new Beetle in this issue and how she became the Beetle. There's Nazis involved, which is always fun.
Nice.
And my sayonaras. I'm going to go with the two that are sad first, and then I'm going to go to the ones that I'm kind of happy to see go. Scarlet Spider ended. Kind of sad. Kane was wonderful. Great Scarlet Spider. But he will be in the new Warriors book that is launching very soon. Which probably means I'll pick up at least an issue or two just to see if I like it. Other Spider-Man title that dropped is Venom. Once again, it ended.
Well, that's kind of a satanic cover, though.
It is. It's been dealing with the Hell World for a while. Interesting. They're marked by the demon. Okay. And this actually leads right into the Superior Spider-Man Venom stuff.
Got it.
Which was nice. Something I'm happy to see go, which is another Spider title, is Superior Carnage. It never really picked up steam. I stuck with it because it was a 5-issue miniseries that says about all that there is. And I finally bowed out of my last X-Force title, Uncanny X-Force. I couldn't connect with the team. I don't really like Humphrey's writing of it. I've mentioned this in the past. It's just kind of rocky and not great. X-Force will be picked back up in a month or two when Simon Spurrier takes the reins. Mm. And that is my version of Stick Suck Pick Sayonara. Johnny, what do you got for us?
All right, first off, I've got an honorable mention. I don't typically read Detective Comics, but I picked up issue number 27. Number 27, as you guys know, in the old Marvel Universe, Detective Comics number 27 was where they introduced Batman. Well, we did a special...
Awesome cover.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's a great book. It's an extra-sized book with stories by... stories by Brad Meltzer, Greg Hurwitz, Peter J. Tomasi, Mike Barr, John Layman, and Scott Snyder. It's fantastic. Everything about it is great. Pick it up, read it. It introduces you to the Gothtopia storyline that is flowing through the Bat titles right now, besides Batman, which is locked in year zero, or zero year. All right. Here are my stucks. I am stuck on Dead Boy Detectives, number one, by Vertigo. Dead Boy Detectives. Dead Boy Detectives were introduced, actually, in Neil Gaiman's Sandman series. And it's just a cool book. I can't really say anything about it without spoiling it all, so pick up Dead Boy Detectives number one. It's really cool. Suicide Squad is also very cool, dealing with forever evil. And the bad guys, as they try to avoid the badder guys. They've got Omac, they've got Harley Quinn, they've got Deadshot, they've got Amanda Waller, Suicide Squad is cool. Fables, as they search for Camelot and are introducing a new round table, you know that I love Fables. Justice League and Justice League of America, mostly because they're dealing with the Forever Evil storyline, which I'm really digging. And these are the ones that I'm stuck on. Justice League Dark, Trinity of Sin Pandora, Constantine, and Trinity of Sin Phantom Stranger are all dealing with the same storyline, which is Blight, which is connected again to Forever Evil. This storyline is brilliant. You don't know who the good guys are. You don't know who the bad guys are. John Constantine is an asshole. The Phantom Stranger is detached and wary. Pandora is just weird, and the Nightmare Nurse is hot. And Swamp Thing is just kind of there. It's a brilliant story, and I'm loving every moment of it. And I'm also kind of stuck on The Movement by Gail Simone. The Movement was the underappreciated people of, you know, in the superhero world. And she's really, it's Gail Simone. How could she not do an amazing job with the book? She's doing an incredible job of identifying these people and showing them, and showing you their personalities. Batman, Scott Snyder, duh. It's 0 year. And Scott Snyder's at the top of his game. So those are my stucks. My pick of the month, sadly, has to be Harley Quinn number one. I'm worried about this title, because Harley Quinn is beginning to look a hell of a lot like Deadpool. Like DC's version of Deadpool.
I kind of saw that coming.
Yeah, really, everybody saw it coming.
Yeah, that's a good parallel.
It's still a fun book with a sexy Harley Quinn doing disturbing stuff, but, and it's still my pick because it's just fun. But I liked the Harley Quinn from Suicide Squad, where she is actually a psychiatrist, an insane psychiatrist. I loved that Harley Quinn. This Harley Quinn is cute, and it's fun, and it's jovial, and it's nice, and it's sexy. But if you put her in a Deadpool outfit, you would never know the difference.
Shame.
Which, yeah, the art is better. But, yeah. I mean,
it's the one-trick pony that you're going to be dealing with.
Right. Well, they needed something. They needed something.
Do you need a Deadpool?
Yes. Look how much Deadpool sells.
Well, Deadpool's a derivative of Deathstroke, so why do we need...
Deadpool's not a derivative of Deathstroke.
Yeah, he is. I mean, they took him in a much different direction, yeah. But that's where he was created from.
Well, okay, I can see that. But Deathstroke is a derivative of Deadshot.
And actually, the other way around.
Oh, okay. So Deathstroke is the
quintessential. He's the alpha.
You are absolutely correct. I am just now putting that together. All right. Mm-hmm. All right, and my Sayonara, one issue in, sucked. Justice League 3000, I'm sorry. Keith Griffin, Jay DeMatteis... Epic, amazing team. This book sucked. I'm sorry. This is Justice League 3000. Just give us Legion of Superheroes. Oh, you gave us that and it failed. Legion of Superheroes. It's just not good. And that's me. On to you, Darren.
I am sticking with Battlestar Galactica for now. It is the Battlestar Galactica from the 70s television series. Nice. Not the reboot from a few years ago. They just wrapped up a storyline. It was okay. I'm interested to see where it's going. Sticking with Skyward, I was so close to putting this in the Sayonara pile. pile, and then they introduced us to Warrior Rabbits. And I went, okay, you got me for another issue. Sticking, again, with Masters of the Universe, you know, I made my pick about this last month in our best of, about they're moving at light speed with the storylines, and I really wish they would take more of their time, and the He-Man costume is just not doing it for me.
No.
Sticking with Masters of the Universe versus the DC Universe. Only on issue two. I feel like they're trying to take their time with this exposition, and I'm okay with it, you know, because obviously they're going to lead to the battle between He-Man and Superman, which they do touch on in issue three. He-Man and Superman, not Batman. Sticking with Superman Unchained, but it's on the brink. On the brink. There was nothing in issue four.
I thought it was going to be gone.
I had to get rid of something else first. Stuck with Batman 66. I can't see, and as much as I love Batman 66, I can't see this going for the long haul. But you know what? The people are writing this thing. They get it. Mm-hmm. I mean, from the very first panel of the very first issue, they've got it. And it's still very enjoyable. So that's a stuck. Stuck on, for sure. Batman Zero Year. It has been nothing short of a really amazing look.
Yeah.
They've got some inconsistencies that are popping up now. Like, you know, you saw Jim Gordon found the Batcave, but didn't recognize it was the Batcave. And you're telling
with
me at some
Batman
point, later,
the,
he's,
yeah.
later he's going to go, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's kind of like, okay. Stuck on the Massive. This has been consistently pretty good. And they are really touched on a compelling storyline. Of course, you know, it's a post-apocalyptic, and I'm kind of a sucker for post-apocalyptic societies, where he runs into an old adversary, and the main character, Callum Israel, runs into an old adversary. Callum Israel is an environmentalist, sees that this old adversary is whaling, but he's whaling minke whales. Minke whales are very, very plentiful. Of course, this is the crash of all technology, so they're actually using these whales to survive. Nothing is wasted, but Callum Israel is unrelenting and will not bend. And it leads to a very, very compelling storyline that they are yet to wrap up. Stuck on East of West. This is a...
so good.
It is. You know what? This is the most unpredictable book I'm reading. You know, you
really?
Don't... Yeah, it really is. I have no idea where it's going. I'm fine with it. Now, stuck on Star Wars. The eponymous Star Wars very easily could have been my pick of the month. They got off to a bit of a slow start. One of the reasons I think a lot of people stuck with it is because we've been buried in prequel land for so long. And it was really just so nice to get back to the stories with Luke Skywalker and Han Solo, Princess Leia, Chewbacca, C-3PO, R2-D2, Darth Vader. As Darth Vader, one of the things they're doing a really great job of is portraying Darth Vader as he was meant to be portrayed before the prequels, which turned him into a giant wuss. He is very menacing, very diabolical in this. And these specific issues 10, 11, and 12 were outstanding. And the art by Carlos de Anda is just been great.
Yeah.
I mean, his artwork, he's doing work in this book. Stuck on the Wake. They just wrapped up the first half of the Wake, which is the end of this particular storyline. From what I understand, now they're going to jump forward, very forward in the future, because this was the crash of civilization, and now we're going to see what happens afterwards. And my pick of the month, the Star Wars. This was a nominee for my book of the year, ultimately finishing behind... Finding Gossamer, which I don't know what's going on with that, but it's nowhere
it's on
near.
Hiatus, man.
Yeah, it's going to be. It sounds like it's on hiatus for quite some time. But this is, of course, the original shooting script before they went through 1,000 rewrites. Darth Vader, interestingly, in this, Lord Vader is kind of looking like he's not the big baddie in this, which was interesting. They brought in a Prince Valorum. Who has, like, basically, it looks like from the original shooting script, they combined Darth Vader with Prince Valorum, and that's what we got Darth Vader with. Very interesting. This is a must-have, and this is one of the reasons I love this book, is because it is one of those things that can only happen in comics. Yeah. And I'm always a sucker for that sort of thing. So the Star Wars, up to issue 4 now. I am really into. And my sayonara is the Rocketeer. The Rocketeer, and this is the Rocketeer and the Spirit crossover, which it was fun. It was a nice little thing. They're taking the IDW is taking the stance that they want to run it like those old 1940s serials that you'd watch before the feature presentation in movie theaters, and they're just supposed to be quick stories that wrap up fairly quickly. You know, the dialogue is real fast. You're not going to worry about character development or anything like that. That's what they've been doing with the Rocketeer since they brought it back. They had the Rocketeer Anthology, I think, with 4 issues, and then they came out with the Rocketeer, the Cargo of Doom, which I reviewed in the podcast, or was in my Stick Stuck Pick Sayonara. And Cargo of Doom was good. Hollywood, what was it called? The Hollywood Adventure. It was okay. This one was actually good, but it's getting it's a little bit long in the tooth at this point. There's no character development. There's nothing. There's no overarching connection to any of the storylines. So it's time to put it to bed before it really becomes something I don't like at all. Not bad, but it's time to say sayonara to the Rocketeer. Well, Johnny, we have a big year in 2014. You've already mentioned that comic sales were as high, up 9% last year.
Yes.
There's no reason that we're going to slow it down, but... And you've already talked about how there's a bunch of television series.
I'm really looking forward to the television
show. So why don't you tell us what you're looking forward to here in 2014.
I'm heavily looking forward to Constantine, obviously.
Sure.
I'm looking forward to the 4th anniversary of the New 52. I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to Scott Snyder's Batman Eternal weekly series that will be coming out with 52 issues and completing a year run. DC Comics has run with the New 52 since, God, they have run with the number 52 for many years. About 5 years before the New 52 movement, they introduced the number 52.
Yeah, that's right. They had that,
The countdown.
The countdown.
The countdown to Infinite Crisis was actually after that, but 52 appeared after one of the Crisis thingies. The one where,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But,
that's where Batman died.
Yeah. No, he died in Final Crisis.
Oh, okay.
That was 2 crises after Infinite Crisis.
The crises of DC.
Yeah. Infinite Crisis. The 52 was the build-up to Infinite Crisis. Anyways, I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do with this 4th year anniversary, because we've had villains multiple
times. Wouldn't it be 3? Because they're on issue 27.
It would. I'm saying that this would be the 4th year introduced in...
Oh, you're counting that old 52, the pre-New 52, 52, whatever.
What? No.
Ah, it hurts.
This was introduced in September of 2011. September 2012 was a year.
Mm-hmm.
September 2013... was 2 years.
So this will be 3 years.
This will be 3 years. You are correct.
Yeah, I go by the issue numbers.
Yeah. All right.
Gotta get the
dice. I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
It will be the 4th September of the New 52.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to seeing what their event is. I'm looking forward to the Scott Snyder Batman Eternal, which I just said, with the introduction, with so many people involved in that. Jeff Lemire, Jonathan Heyman. We've got... This is going to be a great story.
Heyman. Sorry. I'm tired, man.
No, I'm exhausted. This is gonna be a great series. So I'm really looking forward to that. As far as comics go, that's what I got. What about you, Phil?
Oh, well, the Netflix Marvel stuff.
Yes.
I'm super pumped for.
Is that dropping in 2014?
I believe it is. Toward the end, I would assume, more so than like right away. I'm looking forward to The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Because there's lots of promise there. We're going to get the Sinister Six. It's there. I'm excited. I'm a Spidey fan. I know you weren't a giant fan of the new drop, Darren. But, Johnny, I know you liked it.
Yeah.
I want to rewatch it before I jump into this, but I have very, very high expectations. I'm looking forward to the return of Peter Parker in April. And those Infinite comics. It's going to be the first Infinite comic I actually purchase. Because I really want to read it. And that drops in April as well. As well as just seeing where Marvel now goes, because they keep dropping these new titles on us really quickly, and every once in a while something just comes up that I'm all about, and there's just so much that just is endless for me, and so much good stuff that is appearing. And anything else that Marvel puts out. So I want to see the end of this first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I believe we will definitely get a second
episode. Isn't it getting so much better?
It really picked up. I didn't see this week's episode yet. I saw last week's, the Tahiti episode.
Whew. Mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It's a magical place.
So good.
It's a magical place.
And that's great. And I'm loving seeing that, and that Marvel's taking it seriously. So there is so much.
I'm
also just excited to keep reading X-Men, because I mean I wasn't even a thought when some of this stuff was out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be very, very enjoyable to do until I get really angry around the 90s. Well, no. I would say very late 90s for X-Men, because
no,
early 90s
Age of Apocalypse.
Yeah, wasn't that Chris Claremont's second run? Because I remember being excited about that. Gene, use the power of your mind. Oh, that was awful.
Onslaught.
Oh,
Onslaught's where I'm feeling some fear. But I probably won't get there this year, let's be honest.
Age of Apocalypse was pretty bad.
What are you talking about, you psycho?
Okay.
Psycho.
We're going to argue about this off.
Okay,
Darren, what are you
on.
Looking forward to before I punch Johnny?
I got a bunch. I kind of took this in a more of a multimedia facet. You know what I'm going to say? The 2014 Cleveland Indians season. Hey, man, we made the playoffs last year.
It's possible, man.
The Indians have done some good things in the offseason. We're all from Cleveland here, the home of
Cleveland
comic books,
rocks.
The birthplace of comic books. So
Cleveland rocks.
Let's go try it. From comics, I'm looking forward to finding some new stuff. I have titles that I've been enjoying. Finding Gossamer, as we mentioned, Nowhere in the Horizon. But I don't have anything that I'm mesmerized by. And I'm hoping to find that title in 2014. So nothing specific from comics. I'm probably going to be dropping a lot of them. Movies. 2014 is the calm before the storm. Listen, 2015 is looking like the biggest year in film with Superman versus Batman, Man of Steel 2, whatever they're going to call it. Avengers 2 and Star Wars are grabbing the headlines. And by the way, can we just agree that if the trailer for Superman Batman comes out and it's got Batman punching Superman or vice versa, that movie's going to be the biggest grossing movie ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to surpass ever. It's going to blow Titanic out of the water.
Hell
it's
yeah.
going to blow The Dark Knight out of the water. It's going to blow The Avengers out of the water. It's going to shoot straight to the top. If that movie is half as good as The Avengers, that'll be very... I mean, they're going to have to do some work to be better than The Avengers
oh, yeah.
was. Because
yeah,
as much as I liked... I love Batman Begins. I love The Dark Knight. I'm a little bit uneven on The Dark Knight Rises. They used the Superman movie, the model, to make The Avengers 2. That's what you want out of a superhero movie. That thing was
yeah.
amazing.
So good.
And as I mentioned before, I'm not on board with where they took Superman anyway. So,
I know.
But oh, really, that thing's going to just, you know, because of the headlines, it's the fight everyone's been waiting to see forever. And it'll be real interesting to see. But 2014 sees Dumb and Dumber 2 with Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels. I'm in. The Muppets Most Wanted. I'm in.
I was in, yeah.
Finally
yeah.
did see The Hobbit's Desolation of Smog. They did a little bit liberal with it, but I thought it was a great improvement over the first one. So I'm really looking forward to the conclusion. Captain America 2,
oh,
X-Men
yeah.
5. Mm-hmm. We're calling
Days
it Days
of Future
Past.
Forgot that was coming.
That is probably my most anticipated movie of 2014. Guardians of the Galaxy and Interstellar also, which is Christopher Nolan's new movie.
Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be pretty good.
It's going to be amazing.
The guy who's playing Star-Lord is the
from Parks and Recreation.
Yeah.
This is something else. Keeping on this line, trailers. If you're like me, then there's nothing quite like the feeling of seeing a trailer for a movie that you're anticipating. Trailers are very powerful, especially when you have emotional attachments to the characters. If you've not watched this trailer, watch the trailer, the original trailer, for Superman the movie. It is the greatest trailer in movie history because it says everything you want it to say about Superman. And right at the end, when it's like, his name is Kal-El, he will call himself Clark Kent. But the world will know him as Superman. And he flies by and it's Christopher Reeve. You get like a lump in your throat and you're like, that is the model. They got it right in 1979. The greatest movie trailer of all time. Other great movie trailers, the Batman Begins trailer. Set it up like a horror movie.
Brilliant.
And he's like,
yeah.
and, you know, basically Christian Bale's Batman saying things like, I thought it was, you know, there was nothing out there, but then I found it. It's me. And, you know, and I'm coming for you. And you're like, and then the iron cast bat symbol comes in. You're like, holy, that was the trailer that needed to happen because we were still recovering from
that,
the wreckage of nipple bat suits.
Nipple Robin, yeah.
Yeah, we needed that trailer. And as odd as it may seem, And follow me on this. Let me finish my point. The Star Wars Episode One trailer. We hadn't seen anything. We knew it was coming. We saw the trailer.
Draw me.
We saw a double-bladed lightsaber. We saw all these. We're like, this is going to be amazing. Little did we know that that feeling we had when we first saw that trailer was the high watermark for the prequel trilogy.
Jar Jar Binks wasn't in the trailer.
He was very briefly in the trailer.
Oh, okay.
But they ruin it.
But they totally kind of shot their wad with that trailer, because could you imagine, even if the unevenness of Episode One, and I actually think there's a good movie in there in Episode One if you cut about 40 minutes out of it. And but can you imagine sitting in that theater like, this movie's not all that great, and then when Darth Maul comes in and he goes to fight Obi-Wan and he starts fighting him with the single blade lightsaber, then he turns and ignites the second blade. If you didn't know that was coming, you'd have been like, oh my God. The movie would have been up at the end. You'd be like, people would have liked it that much more. But that feeling you had when you watched the Star Wars Episode One trailer, it was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. So I really am looking forward, because probably around the end of 2014, around the Christmas time, we should start seeing
trailers.
Man of Steel 2, Avengers 2, the Star Wars Episode 7. I am very curious to see the Star Wars trailer more than anything. We know, I mean, it would be stunning to me if any one of us walked out of the Avengers 2 and going, oh my God, that was terrible. I feel like...
God, I hope not.
I'm not going to.
I mean, I feel like that is... I mean, listen, that thing's in great hands. I have no... I would be stunned.
I believe in Whedon.
I'm interested to see the costumes for Batman and Wonder Woman. We're going to see those. But I think the one that's really kind of intriguing is the Star Wars with Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker. And television, finally. Now, as much as I love Arrow, and it's upping the ante for any comic book themed superhero-related show, and I can't wait for The Flash and the Daredevil and all those other things, no show, and I mean no show, is anywhere close to being as magnetic. Champ! God damn it! Come here!
It's the dog. He's yelling at the dog.
No show is anywhere close. And I mean, I like Arrow, but it's nowhere close to Justified. If you've not watched Justified, that is the best told story on television. It's a modern day Western. It's the performances in that show. It's the best acting you're going to find in television and in Hollywood. No one's outdoing the performances in this show. It is Southern noir at its best, with a character that by the end of watching the first two seasons, there was a thing on Screen Rant at one point. They said they're going to put together the Avengers with only television characters and place them against Loki's army. And the character in Justified, they said, was the parallel to Hawkeye. But they said that, you know, in all fairness to Raylan Givens from Justified, he could probably walk up to Loki and stare him down and Loki would back down. And when you see Justified, you're like, yes, he would walk up to Loki and go, sir, I'm sure this is all a misunderstanding, but if you don't take your army out of here, I'm going to have to pull. And Loki and army would back away. That's how great this show is. So Justified Season 5, and that is what I'm looking forward to in 2014.
All right, so I guess, do we have any plugs or anything this time? Because I'm good. I'm done. I'm cashed, Darren.
Yeah.
I'm good.
All right,
this is the Panel Scanners. Thank you for putting up with us and listening to our podcast. I'm Johnny Capps. I'm saying, have a great night.
Jeez.